like to thank Steve and the congregation for this opportunity to speak to you this morning. It's always a privilege to be in this pulpit. I appreciate so much, and I would be remiss if I did not indicate how much I appreciate your presence here today. The fact that you are here is indicative of your interest in things that are spiritual, and you are to be commended for that. We appreciate your presence. If you're visiting with us, you're an honored guest, and we'd invite you back anytime you may have the opportunity to come. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, the text reads as follows. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. That Paul provides for us a command that we are and we have an obligation to do good and to do good for everyone that we meet, if it's possible. That calls for action on our part, not a mere intellectual agreement of a belief in God. That's not sufficient. We must act if we're to be approved by God. Our primary text is what was read for us so well by Logan. That'll be James, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 26. The book of James is an interesting book. It's probably the oldest book in the New Testament. It was written very well. The Greek is very fine, perhaps the best in the New Testament. It is not a book of theology, but rather a book that describes and demands practical Christianity. The author, while some question it, most scholars believe that James, who is the half-brother of Christ, is the author of this particular book. He was known as a pillar in the Jerusalem church. He's referred to as James the Just, and sometimes as Old Camel Knees. Now, why was he called that? He was called that because he prayed for so many hours on the hard and knelt on the hard stones of the tabernacle. I'm sorry, it's the temple. It was the tabernacle, but now it's the temple. Tradition says that this honorable man was killed by stoning at the order of the high priest. He probably wrote this from Palestine and probably from Jerusalem, where he was a church leader. It's hard to date the date that it was written, someplace between 40 and 60, certainly before 70, when the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem. The recipients of this particular letter, chapter 1, verse 2 of it, says that it was sent to the 12 dispersed tribes, and it's possibly thought of as being figurative language. Regardless of whether it's figurative or not, it is addressed to all Christians and not just to Jewish Christians. Its instructions and commands are as applicable as us today, to us today, as it was to them in the first century. It was probably a circular letter meant to be sent to several congregations around. The purpose was to bring to Christians' attention their need to act and that pious rhetoric is insufficient to gain the promise of eternal life. Practical Christianity, we talked about that before. James encourages all who read this book and us today that they are to endure the trials that were coming upon them. They were to endure the assaults that were going to come against their faith. And they were going to have to correct the defects which they had and they needed to correct. James responded to certain Christians. Apparently there were certain Christians who were reasonably wealthy, and yet they felt it was not appropriate for them to provide sustenance and clothing to those who were desperately in need of it. And in these verses, James sets out that that's not appropriate. That's not what we need to do. We have an obligation to help those people. We have an obligation to help anyone in this world that we can. That obligation is personal. It does not fall to the church. Steve taught a very good lesson this morning on what the church's obligations are. That's not the church's obligation. That's our obligation, our personal obligation, and we have to carry that out. What he says, that words without action was and is not what Christians have or had to do. That's not their obligation. What do we learn from this particular book and from these particular verses? There's a story that's told I found particularly interesting. It's about a young man who was working his way through college. And one summer he was employed by those who were in a timbering business. And those individuals had a reputation for being very crude and very rude and very profane. And he was warned about that before he went there, that they would probably pick on him because he was a Christian. When he returned some 3 months later from the work, they asked him if he had been picked on or mistreated because he was a Christian, and he said no. They never found out. That would be almost humorous if it weren't so serious. That's serious. If we are around people for an extended period of time and they can't tell that we're a Christian by the way we act, we've failed somehow. Somehow or another, that's not what God intends. He intends for us to demonstrate our Christianity by what we do. And if we fail to do that, then we fail in what he has provided for us. Christians are expected, they're required, to be moral, to be God-fearing men and women. They need to attend church services. They need to tell the truth. They need to oppose evil. They need to contribute to the church. They need to teach others the word. But as we have seen by these verses, by this book, that obligation goes much further. We must act in such a manner that we demonstrate to those around us that we belong to Christ. Our sermons are preached not only with words, but also with our actions. What we do rings far more loudly than what we say. We all have an obligation to take care of the things that we can take care of, to assist the people that we can assist, to help them if they need help. That's our obligation. It's not the church's obligation, but that's ours. That's what we need to do. And if we fail to do that, we have failed to be Christians. We can't afford to fail to be Christians. If we do, we have a strong possibility we're going to miss heaven. And that's not something we want to do. Not something that we can fail to do. I think you ought to read the book of James. It's not that long. You can probably read it in 10 or 15 minutes. But it points out the obligations that we have to carry forward. It points out practical living Christianity. James tells us what to do and what not to do. And we ought to pay attention to that. We really, really should. you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to take care of that this morning. We have the water, we have the garments, we're prepared to baptize you, teach you as you go forward how to be a Christian. If you have been a Christian and you've failed in some manner, you can fix that this morning. And if we can assist you in any way that this good book allows, we'd ask that you come. All together we stand and sing our song.
Jesus, the love-big shepherd.